This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has referred to himself and the prophets that preceded him like different bricks of a common home. So that's the amazing parable and the profound example. مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِي كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ بَنَى بَيْتًا. My similitude, my example is like a person who built a house. فَأَجْمَلَهُ وَأَحْسَنَ. He beautified it, he adorned it, he decorated it, with the exception of one brick in the corner of this house of prophethood. فَجَعَلَ النَّاسُ يَطُوفُونَ بِهِ. People came, they observed, engineers came, they had a look at it, architects came, they had a look at it, quantity surveyors came, they had a look at it. They were impressed by the structural setup of this house. They were impressed by the looks of this house. However, they made a remark and they said, هَلَّا وُضِعَتْ هَذِهِ. Why is this house left incomplete? فَأَنَا اللَّبِنَا. I am the final brick to culminate and conclude the house of prophethood, and I will not be followed by any Nabi, la Nabiya ba'di. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, they are united, they are common, they have one vision, one goal, they share the common fundamentals, the common principles, and they differ in the furu'at and in the finer rulings of Islam. However, while we respect, revere, and honor every Nabi in the galaxy of prophets, there is no refuting of the fact that Allah has given virtue and merit to certain prophets over others, as the Quran explicitly and categorically mentions, وَنُفَضِّلُ وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. Indeed, we've given superiority and virtue and merit and status to certain prophets over others. And amongst the galaxy of the prophets whom Allah has elevated and put on this pedestal and whom Allah has given such recognition that an entire chapter has been dedicated to his mention in a very unique way, that Allah has sustained sequence. Allah has sustained sequence in the narration of his tale has been none other than Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Amongst the amazing things of this particular incident, and I hope to be interactive with both brothers and sisters, and you can put your thinking cap on and reflect and introspect as we move on and try to briefly draw some analogies from his impeccable legacy and the great message that he leave for us. His life embodies many dimensions. It is appealing to the lad. It strikes a chord with the young man. It has a message to the ruler. It gives some hope to the victim. It gives a direction to the infatuated individual. It's a very encompassing tale. It's a very embracing tale. In its broad embrace, from childhood to his end, you would find every one of us in our day-to-day lives, we will able to identify with him. Like one author has written, and perhaps I would mimic that phrase of his and say to you, فَإِلَى كُلِّ مُبْتَلًا أهدي إليك سورة يوسف لتكون عزاء لك في هذا البلاء الذي أصابك. To every afflicted individual, I present before you the tale of Yusuf so that it can nurse your wounds, so that it can give solace to your pain and your agony. وإلى كل شاب مفتون بفتنة النساء أهدي إليك سورة يوسف. And to every young man or girl, boy or girl, infatuated over another, and may Allah amplify my sentiments across the globe, because this has become one of the tragedies and one of the epidemics that has plagued our planet. A young boy came to Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahimahullah, and he said, سَلِلْ مَكِّيَ الْمُفْتِيَّ مِنْ آلِ هَاشِمٍ إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ. O Muhammad bin Idris, if a man is infatuated over a woman or she's infatuated over a boy, How should they deal with it? Now the pious were people who were very comprehensive. They were very apt. They said it directly but voluminous. He said, يُدَوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَصْبِرُ. Two things he must do. يَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ. Number one, he must conceal his fantasy. And number two, he must persevere on the emotions of his heart. He must conceal his fantasy. Don't throw it out on Facebook. Don't throw it out on social media. Don't go and expose it in the public domain. Keep it within yourself. يَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ. He must conceal his fantasy and he must persevere. But it's a young man bubbling to optimum, adrenaline in him to its optimum. كَيْفَ يَصْبِرْ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى. How do I contain myself? How do I suppress myself? When the sheer thought and the sheer fantasy kills me every day, just the thought I go in memory lane and it's a different thing. I often say on a lighter note, a boy is proposed to a girl by the name of Aisha. So his mom's name was Aisha, his sister's name. Say, Aisha, Aisha. Then you say, I believe you're getting married to sister Aisha. No, no, brother, it's Aisha. You're not pronouncing it correctly. There's passion, there's feeling, there's sentiment, there's emotion, there's attachment. Suddenly everything holds a certain value and an attachment. كَيْفَ يَصْبِرُ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ غُصَّةٌ يَتَجَرَّعُ فَإِنْ هُوَ لَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. I'm going to paraphrase and translate this particular stanza of the long poem in which Imam Shafi'i says a very amazing thing. He said, either master the courage and crush your ego and live beyond, or succumb to it and you will die for the rest of your life. Either master the courage and crush your ego, destroy that evil within you, and then you would be blessed with a life. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, respond and comply and oblige to that message which gives you a new meaning to life, which gives you a new definition to life. This feeling in it, as the Quran mentions in the 10 juz post the events of Badr, لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. Yeah, the word halak is used in the context of kufr, because disbelief, لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيُؤْمِن مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِالْبَيِّنَةٍ. Allah uses the phrase of life synonymous, tantamount to faith. So when you're embracing the faith, you actually instilling life into you. And you see people who are devoid and bereft of direction and guidance, you see how empty their lives are. I travel, and may I ask the Almighty to accept my humble travels. And every time I travel, and I'm in a lounge, and I'm in the airport, and I'm flying, I'm inevitably exposed to other cultures. And sometimes it takes exposure to other cultures for us to realize the richness of our own culture. Sometimes when you see a man riveted to the screen and then eating with his left hand, then you realize the profound nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Samillah wa kul bi yaminik wa kul mimma yaleek, that I won't be doing this here. I would be humbling myself. I would be washing my hands. I would be eating the mussel in front of me. You appreciate it, stands out. So anyway, wa ila kulli shabbin maftunin bi fitnatin nisa. To every young man, we present the tale of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, so that you could reflect from the fidelity, the loyalty, and the morality of this great person in the position in which Allah Ta'ala had placed him. Wa ila kulli madlumin, and to every victim, and to every abused person, uhdi ilayka surat Yusuf. We present before you the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam. لتعلم يقينا أن الله سينصرك لا محالة. So that you realize from the tale of Yusuf, the help of Allah is inevitable. Persevere till it prevails, but it is coming your way. وإلى كل مسؤول أهدي إليك سورة يوسف لتعلم أن هذا المنصب تكليف لا تشريف. And to every man on a micro or macro, domestic or global, in any position of power, let it be known to you this is more a responsibility than a privilege, that you hold the nation in your hands, that you have this great amana, لتؤدي الأمانة كما أداها سيدنا يوسف عليه الصلاة والسلام. I am reminded by the quotation of Atta ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah. Who was Atta? He was the distinguished student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and he was the mentor of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. In fact, Atta himself said, ما رأيت أفقه من حماد ولا أجمع للعلوم من عطاء. From all my tutors, two stand out. One was Hamad. I never seen someone more profound in jurisprudence, who had his finger on the pulse like my tutor Hamad. And I never seen anyone from my teachers who could amass and acquire and gather more knowledge and more info than my honorable and venerable teacher Atta ibn Abi Rabah. These were the words of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So in the footnotes of Jalalain with reference to Sawi, the quotation of Atta is mentioned, لا يسمع سورة يوسف أحد إلا استراح إليها. Any person feeling distraught, feeling depressed, feeling miserable, feeling low, tell him to read or listen to the tale of Yusuf, and instantly he will feel tranquil, calm, and relaxed. We are living in a time where depression has become the order of the day. Years ago, I had given a talk, and many people had given me positive feedback about it as well, on depression. And I remember a lad had come to me at the age of 10, and he said, Sheikh, would you give me a dua? I'm depressed. And I said, do you know what does depression mean? Right? We're born into these circumstances. You go to a doctor, a standard diagnosis is made, and he said, listen, you'll need to be relaxed because stress is going to aggravate it. Right? Khalid Beg has mentioned very beautifully in one of his articles, he said, we are a nation cursed and blessed by our innovation. We are a nation cursed and blessed. Technology, growth, advancement, to our betterment, to our good, to our advancement. But coupled with that, read the side effects of what has happened. We connect to people across the continent and disconnect with people sitting next to us. We disconnect. We need to take out time and create a techno-free zone in our homes to say, you know what, shut all the devices and let's spend quality time. I was having a swim with my kids and I said, this is so good. You know, there's no gadgets, no devices. And one of my sons says, Dad, you must get the latest phone. You can take pics under the water. I said, there goes it. That's the mind. That's the mentality. Years ago when I was teaching a lad, look at how our minds have become programmed. So I was teaching a lad in class 3 in elementary level in the, you know, regular institution. So a simple word, substitute, featured in the textbook. I said, boys, do you know what's textbook? Do you know what's substitute? So the one lad like, yes, Ustad, I know. When one player goes off the field, you call a substitute. I'm like, yes, but do we only identify with those connotations? Have we narrowed it down? You were talking about celebs. I had read an article, meet the 11 greatest sinners in football history. And I memorized that article, not for the sake of memorizing it, but that I can pass it on to others. Some of those celebrities who feature in football were quite bold and brazen in interviews to say that they had perpetrated bestiality. While one of them said he had bedded 700 women. Now, look at nature, how pure a child is. My youngest son was present when I gave this at one talk. And then he came to me after the talk. And he said, Dad, how did so many women fit in one room? And I said, my word, that's how pure he comes from nature. That he cannot even reconcile. I said, it's sad. It's just a matter of time before you'll be tarnished. It's just a matter of time before you'll be brainwashed. It's just a matter of time before you'll be indoctrinated. It's just a matter of time before your nature will be soiled and you will see with the same lenses that anybody else sees. But when nature sends you, that's how pure you are. That's how clean you are. That's how chaste you are. That is how you would abhor, frown, scowl. What's this? This is strange. This is unheard of. But let's move on. Allah refers to this tale as Ahsan al-Qasas, the noblest of it all. In Al-Bahru al-Muhit, it is mentioned That the reason why Allah makes reference to this tale as the best of tales, لِأَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ ذُكِرَ فِيهَا كَانَ مَآلُهُ إِلَى السَّعَادَةِ That every person who featured in this tale ultimately had a good end. Now this is key. The Quran repeatedly impresses upon us to introspect and reflect over the end of things and not to become a victim of optical illusion by seeing the passing phases and stages. Don't look at this. What happened in the end? أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ Innumerable verses of the Quran reflect over the ending. We look at the average celebrity. I'm not even talking post-death. Some of them die as a pauper. Some of them languish in jails. Some of them have no social structure to their lives. Some of them become victims of social abuse and a host of other crimes. So it's a prime, it just bubbles up and then the bubble bursts at some point. When we look at the tale of Yusuf, انظر إلى يوسف وأبيه وإخوته وإمرأة العزيز والملك أسلم بيوسف وحسن إسلامه. While there was fluctuations and they were evolving stages, but the tale ends that the brothers concede the superiority of their brother and they are forgiven through the intercession of the father and the dua of their father and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minister's wife who had solicited and seduced, she herself comes and concedes guilt. And she says, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ It was a ploy, I was conniving. But let me say the truth. الْحَقُّ أَبْلَجْ وَالْبَاطِلُ لَجْلَجْ The Arabic proverb goes as follows, that the truth is explicit, it's clear, it's bright, while falsehood is vague, it's ambiguous. It is subject to interpretation. There's a lot of things you can tamper with. So that's the reason why it stands out to be the noblest of tales. So here we have this young boy. He has a dream. He has a vision. Again, we were talking of interacting. So he sees this dream as a little child. And we learn from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, while it is an offense to lie, it is a very severe offense to lie in a dream. Some people just have to thrill, just to fascinate, just to impress people. I had a dream and I was, you know, fantasizing and we think it's just entertainment. It is of a greater degree and it is a much more severe offense if you fabricate a tale pertaining to a dream. Why? Because true dreams have a direct link with prophethood. So tampering with dreams, this is a categoric, explicit hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a sin and a grave sin to speak a lie. But if a person speaks a lie regarding a dream, it just makes and compounds the crime and aggravates the situation. So my dad, I had this dream. What was this dream? رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ It's this 11 stars, it's this brilliant, bright sun, and it's this moon in a row together, all bowing and prostrating before me. When Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam heard this, he was a man of prophethood, coming from a family of prophethood, he realized. Imam Qurtubi writes, وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ يَعْقُوب بِتَأْوِيلِ الرُّؤْيَا لِأَنَّهُ عَلِمَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِهَا أَنَّهُ سَيَظْهَرُ عَلَيْهِمْ It's abundantly clear by the interpretation of Sayyidina Yaqub that he was skilled with dreams. And in Qasasul Anbiya on page 268, it's mentioned, لَقَدْ عَرَفَ أَبُوهُ أَنَّهُ سَيَنَالُ مَنْزِلَةً عَالِيَةً وَرِفْعَةً عَظِيمَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةً By that vision, by that dream, by that hint, by that suggestion, Yaqub realized that a great future was in the making. This was a young boy in the early stages with a great future coming his way. So he took the necessary precautions. وَأَمَرَهُ بِكِتْمَانِهَا Listen, oh my son, conceal this. Don't go and expose this. Now here we need to draw a very, very big lesson. But let me just mention something and then I'll come back to that point. أَمَرَهُ بِكِتْمَانِهَا Keep this in your bosom. Keep this in your chest. Don't leak it. Don't divulge it. Don't whisper it. Don't express it to anyone. كَيْ لَا يَحْسُدُوهُ So that they don't plot against you. وَيَكِيدُوا لَهُ الْمَكْرَ And then they plot and connive and then they have all this agenda against you. Imam Qurtubi makes a phenomenal deduction, and this is knowledge. And this is what we need to interact with. And this is what we need to activate within ourselves. Al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lahu. Knowledge is an ocean with no shores, and you continue to swim in it and draw from the great wisdom that Allah has kept in this beautiful deen of ours. Lam yubali bidhalika min nafsihi. When he seen the dream, he didn't tell his son, take precautions from me. And neither was he threatened by that dream. Why? لِأَنَّ الرَّجُلْ يَوَدُّ أَن يَكُونَ وَلَدُهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ Because a father wishes, my son must excel me. But a brother doesn't wish the same for his sibling. So he said, my son, I'm happy you told me, I'm your dad, I wish the best for you. But don't say it for your brothers, I'm afraid they won't wish as I wish for you. وَالْأَخُ لَا يَوَدُّ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَخِيهِ Now look at the irony of the world. The Prophet ﷺ had said to us, "Ista'inu ala inja'il al-hawa'ij bil-kitman." It's the narration of Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman. That conceal your things and do your matters secretly. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ Because every favored man is targeted with the jealous eye. Back in the days, we kept a diary. And in English, they say, keep a diary and one day it will keep you. Keep a diary and one day it will keep you. But be it as it may, you kept a diary, you would confide with that, you would capture your moments, your sad, your happy, your visions, your fantasies, your challenges, your snags, your whatever. If anybody dare probe it, you felt violated, offended. Today you throw everything out in the public domain, and if people don't read it, you feel offended. How has the world evolved? How has things changed? استعينوا على قضاء ال... استعينوا على إنجاح الحوائج بالكتمان. One narration. The other narration, قضاء. That do things secretly. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ Because every favored man is targeted with the jealous eye. Our deen teaches us, and it's a rich legacy, and it's the fabric and the fiber and the building blocks of our faith, where we do things with morality, and we do things with respect and dignity. So anyway, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam tells his son that please, you keep this as a secret. Now the scholars deduce from this here that he warned his brother, he warned his son against conniving, against plotting, against jealousy from his siblings. And they tell us this is an element that we will not able to separate from the human race. It's intrinsic, it's inherent, it's inborn. وجود الحسد عادة بين الإخوة والأقارب. And I read a phenomenal exploration in the tafsir that the scholars tell us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us in the Quran to ask protection from the jealous person. But Allah said, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ Allah save us from the jealous man when he no longer can contain his envy and he starts venting it. Meaning, a certain portion is intrinsic, it's inborn, it's inherent, it's part of our anatomy, it's part of our composition, and that is not evil, that motivates us. It gives us a boost to aspire to excel in life. But as soon as it comes to a level where we want to curtail the growth of others, we want to stop the growth of others, we want to prevent the advancement of others, then that is to our own detriment. And that is when the Quran says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ Oh my Lord, protect me from the evil of the jealous when he no longer can contain himself. And the scholars give an amazing deduction. In the incident of Tabuk, I just want to run through it briefly. So when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mobilized and he went to Tabuk and it was the final expedition and the odds were heavy and the heat was intense and the journey was distant, as the Quran speaks about it in the 10th juz. Essentially, there were five groups of people. A, the group of Sahaba that respond diligently and they complied and they participated. There was yet another group who were initially hesitant, but subsequently they participated. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم. That those who responded in the hour of difficulty, when a group amongst them were hesitant, but subsequently they complied. There was yet a third group, and they were excused due to valid circumstances.
وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ.
There is no blame or reproach or criticism on those who don't have the means, that they ask you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, provide us with a conveyance, and you say, I have nothing to offer you, and they turn as tears trickle down their cheeks, that they don't possess anything to donate to the cause. There was a fourth category, and these were genuine sahaba, devout companions, but became victim of certain circumstances. And in fact, there's a subtle deduction that the Mufassirin have made, and it's a bit intricate, but I hope I can just share it with you. And that is, we need good company. We need to assimilate with good people. So the scholars say that these sahaba, some of them stayed behind. They were genuine. We cannot flaw them. We cannot put in any way question their loyalty, faithfulness, their integrity. However, in this one particular campaign, 10 of them stayed behind. And it could probably be due to some form of association with the munafiqeen. That negative energy came onto them. Because the munafiqeen, they were only out to see where they could generate revenue, where they could make money. As the Quran said, that they shied away. Why? Because it was a distant location. But if there was something, لو كان عربا قريبا وسفرا قاصدا لاتبعوك ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة. If they knew there was handsome returns and the distance was close, they would surely followed you. They are making false excuses. Now, how do the scholars deduce this here? Because after Allah concludes the chapter, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and associate with the truthful, so the message of truth can be transmitted into you. So there was 10 amongst them that didn't show up in the battle. 7 of them repented by tying themselves to the pillar, according to the narration of Ibn Abbas, and there's an ayah that references it as well. While 3 of them were equally remorseful, but they were not so hasty in repenting. So they just put the matter on hold. They said, when the Prophet of Allah comes, we will look into the matter. And that was basically Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and Murara bin Rabi' and Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhum. The 7 sahaba who tied themselves to the pillar, the verse was revealed regarding them. They said, till the Prophet of Allah doesn't open or unleash us, we will not leave. And Allah revealed the verse, وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those who have done good, and yes, there is a bit of a dilution of some mistakes of theirs, it's hope that Allah will forgive and pardon them, and they were forgiven. So amongst the 3 whose tawbah was put on hold was Ka'b radiallahu anhu. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Tabuk, he said, مَا فَعَلَ كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكُ. I'm not seeing Ka'b in our ranks. Now look at the deduction of the scholars. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ بَنِي قَوْمِهِ. Nobody spoke negative about his absence but a person from his own family. No person spoke negative about his absence but someone from within his own ranks. Someone from within his own ranks. حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ وَالنَّضْرُ فِي عِطْفَيْهِ. O Nabi of Allah, you rather move on and don't speak about him. The man has gone very obsessed with his dress and he's gone very meticulous about how he clothes himself. So really, you know what, speak something else and move on. But look at the fabric of that society, and this is what I keep on harping on. We need good people in every field. We need great thinkers, philosophers, engineers, doctors, whatever else have you. But we need them with that Islamic ethos and those Islamic values. Imagine, just to objectively digress, when I say the makeup of a society. So a corpse is brought, a funeral is brought, a body is brought. And the Prophet ﷺ's usual procedure is, هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ دَيْنٍ. Has the deceased left behind any debts? Yes. هَلْ تَرَكَ مِنْ وَثَائِنٍ. Has he left behind money to offset the liabilities? Yes. Okay, then I will lead his funeral prayer.
And yet a body is brought. هل ترك من دين? Has he left behind any debts? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he left behind funds to offset the debts? No. صلوا على صاحبكم. Then would somebody else take the courage to lead the funeral prayer of this person? Now the Prophet of Allah had to make a stance and a message had to be communicated about the importance of settling debts, lest it constitutes deprivation of the paragon of Allah's creation to lead your prayer. That's academic, that's objective, that has to be done. But look at the nurturing of Sahaba that took place in that environment. Comes from the Riya Ali ibn Abi Talib. O Nabi of Allah, don't deprive the man of your prayer. And whoever has a claim from the late man, claim it from me, and I will settle you. At least he can have the Prophet of Allah leading his funeral prayer. Can you understand the makeup of that? If I were there, I'd shrug my shoulders. Hey, tough luck, brother. You remember, I must mention this, I had led a funeral prayer of a person, and obviously from the hadith and the juristic ruling, you know, there's merit to this. So I was praying for him, and I made a dua, and as I completed my prayer, I was leaving the grave, and somebody nudges me. And he says, hey, Sheikh, you prayed for him, but he owes me money. I'm like, who? He said, the man you buried. I said, okay, brother, let's just respect the sensitivity here with people, there's mourning and everything. He says, no, but I need my money. And surely the Prophet of Allah said he has a leg to stand on. لِصَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ مَقَالَ. These are the teachings of Islam. So here comes Sayyidina Ali from the rear and he says, creditors, claim it from me. And the Prophet of Allah said, فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Ali, you rescued him. And what a great initiative you've put in place. May Allah save your soul from Jahannam as you've rescued your brother's soul. So when a person from within the ranks of Ka'b stood up and he said, O Nabi of Allah, move on, leave the man. فَقَالَ مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتْ. مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ retorted. He said, we don't welcome those words. That's in bad faith. That's distasteful. وَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. Listen, brother, I have a different view. If somebody says something negative in front of me about someone, then I say, hey, you know, I thought I was the only one who felt like that. But it's good to know that there are others that concur with my view. It's good to know that others endorse it. I thought it was only me that had a bone to pick with him and had a contentious issue. But now I realize that, you know what, there are other people. But what was it? Diffuse the situation. Don't perpetuate the bitterness. Don't give momentum and impetus and strength to it. Cut it in its roots. Fate had it, Sayyidina Yusuf leaked it out. What was meant to happen had happened, and he couldn't contain it. So he tells his brothers, you know what, I had this dream. Okay, what was it? I seen this year the 11 stars, sun, moon, prostrating. Now, although they were not prophets, but they were in the house of prophethood, so obviously they had some degree of understanding as well, and they realized that there is something great happening, and they also sensed the father having an inclination. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. It's impossible to encapsulate this tale in an hour and a half. It's really beyond any person because it's so profound. The scholars of tafsir academically, linguistically, and grammatically ask the question, what does the word lam feature in the word لَيُوسُفُ? إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ. Where does this fit into the equation? مَا مَوْقِعُ اللَّامِ فِي قَوْلِهِمْ لَيُوسُفُ. So they tell us, اللَّامِ هِنَا بِمَعْنَى الْقَسَمِ. The lam here is in the context of an oath. وَاللَّهِ لَيُوسُفُ. So what did the brother say? They said, by Allah, our dad loves Yusuf and his brother. Brother refers to Binyamin as captured by the Mufassirin, his uterine brother. They shared a common mother and a different father. We don't go into all the details. I was going to share with you points from which we can pick up lessons. Although the entire tale is full of lessons, but something that we can digest in bite size and we can relate and identify with and put into practice immediately. Inna abana lafi dalalim mubin. Inna abana lafi dalalim mubin. Our dad is silly. Our dad is naive. Our dad is orthodox. Our dad is primitive. Our dad is laid back. He's too conservative. And to give you, that's a euphemistic translation. That's a euphemistic translation. To give you the explicit translation, our dad is deviant. Right? لَمْ يُرِيدُوا ضَلَالَ الدِّينِ إِذْ لَوْ أَرَادُوهُ لَكَفَرُوا. Qurtubi says here, deviation doesn't refer to faith, because if they made nisbat to their dad being deviant in faith, that would render them as disbelievers, because you calling the Prophet of Allah as deviant, you become a disbeliever yourself. So our dad is orthodox man, he doesn't have his facts in a row. Now here we are facing the same stumbling block, where we need to sit together and bridge the gap and find some commonness between the old folks, their vision and their wisdom, and the young and their energy and their enthusiasm. We have to find some common way where we can bridge this gap here. Because we find the same sentiments being thrown out today. My dad, my culture, my teacher, my society, oh, they all orthodox. They don't understand. Sayyidina Ali said, we need the vision of the seniors and we need the strength of the youth. But between the two, we are more indebted to the vision of the seniors than the strength of the youth. We need both. There's a place and there's a role for both. They're our hands and our legs. They mobilize. They have strength and vision. They have energy. And they have it within them. But it needs to be tuned. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be controlled. There is an incident in the 29 Jews, and I'm just going to make an anecdotal reference due to the shortage of time. And there was a dad who had a beautiful farm, and every time he would harvest his crops, he would give a portion of that to the poor, and then he would take the other crops, bring it home and sell in the marketplace, and life moved on. The old man died. The old man died, and this is mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, this particular point that I want to mention. The tale is in the Quran. Abdullah ibn Abbas says it was in Sana'a, Yemen. Others say it was in Habsha. There's difference of opinion on the location of this place. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ So when the young blood inherited the orchard of the late father, they came on. We young, we energetic, we educated, we have degrees. And what they said, this mentioned, our dad was foolish. What was he foolish? My dad used to give a third of the crops to the poor. Gone are the days. You want, you must pay. Nobody gets anything for free. The Quran says, فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ They advance to harvest their crops while they whisper discreetly, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ That you know what? Keep your actions camouflaged. Let it be a secret. So no beggar gets a hint that we have come here to harvest the crops. By the time the beggars come, it's done and dusted. They must come to the marketplace, pay their fair share, and take whatever they want and leave. A sheer contamination in the intention. Pollution of thought, not of action. Pollution, adulteration of the thought pattern affected the crops, affected the landscape. Allah said, we sent a fire from the skies, which reduced that entire farming and orchard to smithereens and reduced it beyond recognition, that as they advance and they finally come to the farm and they had this whole plot in place and they were going to deny all the poor people, Allah said, we denied them forever. So what were they in it? My dad is foolish. My dad doesn't understand. You know, in English, there's a beautiful saying. They say, just when I realized my dad was correct, I have children who think I'm incorrect. Just when I realize, oh, my old man knew what he was saying, we have a generation that thinks we don't understand. Just when I get grips with life, and that puzzle is taking shape, and everything of my dad is now coming back to me, my dad said this, he said that. I said to my young son, now he's 18, I said to him, you know what, you need to tidy yourself up, you need to dress up, you're growing up. No, dad, I'm fine, I'm okay, it's okay. When he got to 14, he says, I need to do orthodontics, my teeth are not straight. I said, wow. Now there's different hormonal spurts that are throwing out, that are driving within him. I need to look appealing, I need to be dressed like this. Satubdi lakal ayyamu ma kunta jahila. Just when you realize your dad was correct, you have a generation that thinks you were incorrect. Lo and behold, what a world. What a world we are living in. We move on. What is jealousy? Sababun likathirin min al-balaya. It is ummul amrad. It is the mother of evils. It has caused havoc in this world. I often say three maladies, three sicknesses. Nothing is small, but three, don't underestimate them. In medical terminology, they are cancer. One is jealousy, one is anger, and one is lust. If not contained, if not controlled, the outburst of these emotions will result in catastrophic situations. And today the world is no less of it. There's no more fabric left. There's no more family structure left. Anger, rage, anger management. It's just like blurting, throwing out. Talaq has become the order of the day. There was a youngster, and I've mentioned it in many of my talks. He came to me with an overwhelming passion. Sheikh, I want to get married, but it's 2 weeks' time and I cannot possibly wait. I'm like, brother, relax. Your time will come. Because marriage has, you know, in English they say, marriage has thorns, but celibacy has no roses. Marriage has thorns, but celibacy, being single, has no roses. So marriage is definitely part of the institution that Allah has made for us. It's awesome, it's great, it's beautiful. That's the design. And if we shift away from that, it's unnatural. But anyway, I need to get married. I'm like, brother, relax. The young boy asked his dad, asked his mom, when will you back off? Like, you monitoring me, when I'm going, when I'm coming, what time I left, when will I be of age that I can leave without your consent and come without your consent? So the mother replies, even your father hasn't reached that age. He's an employer, he's got his company, but at home even he clocks in. Even he reports. So listen, forget about that, my boy. Your dad still is busy with that, yeah. He also reports, right? So those of you that are married, you'll identify with it. When my wife hears it, she just chuckles and she says, but people think I do that to you. I said, no, I'm not saying it's you. It's a general norm. Everybody knows with that. So we are saying that there are three maladies that if they get the better of you, they will cause havoc on this earth. And we've seen this today. One is anger, one is jealousy, and one is lust. مَمْتَنَعَ إِبْلِيسُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ لِأَدَمْ. The devil refused to prostrate to Adam purely out of jealousy. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَّار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. I'm superior, he's inferior. And what provoked Qabil, the son of Adam, to claim the life of his brother Habil other than jealousy? Jealousy that my brother walks around with a woman more beautiful than my wife. That's too much for me to bear. I often say in my talks, as Muslims, as humans firstly, as Muslims secondly, we ought to have the vision to see the good of others. Tragically, we have stooped so low that we cannot facilitate the growth of others. We no longer have the strength to see the growth of others. Our eyes, it becomes a painful sight. People relocate because they cannot see the growth and the advancement of others. It's too much. So he said, my brother, I will kill you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, be like the better son of Adam. Be like the better son. لَإِن بَسَتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِي يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh my brother, if you're going to make the nasty advancement to claim my life, go for it. I'm not going to resist you. But I will never stoop so low to reciprocate that same behavior. I'm going to rise beyond. I'm going to be one better. Why must I stoop to that same mentality? In Ibn Kathir, the narration of Ibn Abi Hatim is mentioned, أول من أخذ بهذه الآية من هذه الأمة لعثمان. If anybody lived up to this legacy from this ummah, was Sayyidina Uthman, when the rebels had surrounded the house and they denied him water radiyallahu anhu wa arda, and his wife Naila radiyallahu anha, she tried to ward the assassins, and in the interim her fingers were severed. And that night he had the vision of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah said, in the morning they're going to mobilize. If you take revenge, victory is yours, and if you persevere, myself, Abu Bakr and Umar are waiting for you at the doors of Jannah. وَمَعَهُ دَلْوٌ مِّن مَا. And the Nabi of Allah came with a bucket of water, not a vessel, not a glass. And he said, Uthman, they've denied you, I have given you water. إِشْرَبْ يَا عُثْمَان. Uthman, drink. And I drank. and my thirst was quenched, and my belly was satiated. And the Nabi of Allah said, Uthman, I'm in no hurry, drink again. أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَخَذَ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Today, how many of us can have that spirit to rise beyond? You know, why must we mimic the tit-for-tat mentality? Why can we not move beyond that spirit, beyond that attitude? There's an incident mentioned there. I know the time is so short. There's an incident mentioned in the 28th Juz when Banu Nadir, the spoils of Banu Nadir were captured. Now listen, I was talking about a society. We're not talking of individuals. We're talking about an entire community. Medina was just not a location. Medina was a people. That is why somebody said, and this is so profound, he said, سُكَّانُ الْمَدِينَةِ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنْ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ قَلِيلٌ سُكَّانُ الْمَدِينَةِ كَثِيرٌ. The residents and the occupants of Medina are many, but the people of Medina are few. Imam Malik had based his verdict. I know it's academic and it's semantics and it's words and linguistics, but if you can really read the fine line, you will know what I'm referring to here. Imam Malik had based his verdict on Ahlul Medina, not Sukkanul Medina. Those who were not only citizens of that place, but they walked the talk. They were drenched in those values. They were living that legacy. So long story short, when the spoils of Banu Nadir were brought in, the Prophet ﷺ assembled the Sahaba and he addressed the Muhajir and the Ansar. He said, my thought is and my vision is, I want to give all this wealth here to the Muhajirin. And this is not systematic exclusion of the Ansar. And this is not discriminating against the Ansar. But my vision is, if I give it to the migrants, I will offset their dependence from you. So on a subtle note, I'm enriching you as well, because you have provided for them now, but I will give them their own independence. They will have their own, they can move aside, and then you can, you know, move on with your life. So I hope this goes well with the Ansar and they don't interpret this. Look at the Nabi of Allah engaging, yet he reserved the authority. It was his prerogative to declare and decide and announce, but he engaged. This is vital, this is integral. We need to engage. In the tale of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the scholars say the same thing. He didn't impose on his son, he engaged his son. Listen, my son, this is what has been said. How do you view the whole thing? We need to sit down and engage and speak to one another. So the Ansar said, we all fine with it. It's fine, O Nabi of Allah. We wouldn't frown on your distribution. Sa'd bin Mu'az stood up, who was the leader. He said, I have a slight different opinion. He said, go for it. He said, my opinion is, O Prophet of Allah, take all the wealth and give it to our migrant brothers, but please don't disassociate them from us. They must still stay in our homes and still ride our dwelling, our conveyances. When the Prophet of Allah heard this, he said, Abshir, Subhanallah, this is a new definition. If it was us and somebody stood up, we say, brother, speak for yourself. I want my share. Speak for yourself. Everybody concurred with the view. I'm saying, we need to take these lessons to life. What did the brother of Adam said? Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alamin. I fear the day I'm going to stand before my Lord. Unfortunately, that lesson has become absent. There's a lengthy narration of Ibn Asakir, but just to expedite it and fast forward it to the point and the shahid that I want to deduce here, when some spoils were brought before Sayyidina Umar, then amongst the spoils that were brought, some delicacies were brought, some very tantalizing, scrumptious, awesome meals were brought. And they said, you must taste this. This is really finger-licking. This is great stuff. So Sayyidina Umar tasted it. فَذَاقَهُ فَوَجَدَهُ طِيبَ الطَّعْمِ طِيبَ الرِّيِّ. He said, this is awesome. It's scrumptious. It's really good. He said, but please, I don't want to indulge myself in this here. So they said, please, we brought it, and you know, this is victory that came our way, and it's a delicacy, and you got to have it. He said, لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَى هَذَا الطَّعَامِ. I foresee a bleak error, and with my lenses and my vision, I see an error where in this ummah, a brother will kill his brother to lay his hands on food like this, and a son will slay his father to have privileges like this. Don't tarnish Umar with food like this, give it to someone else. Sadly, we are the living statistics of those prophecy. We are the living statistics of those prophecy. In Madarik al-Tanzil, there's an incident mentioned. Abu Zayd said, قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِّنَ الْبَلْخِ I was making tawaf, and one youngster, once upon a time, that was the vision of the youth. A youngster nudged me. He said, مَا تَعُدُّونَ الزُّهْدَ فِيكُمْ Abu Zayd, how do you describe zuhud, abstinence, disinclination? I said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا When we have, we eat. When we don't have, we persevere. He said, هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ Our dogs and your sage are on the same level. Our dogs and your saints, one level. Because when our dogs have, they eat. When they don't have, they persevere. So I was blown away. I said, what are you talking about? I said, you tell me, what is zuhud? He said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا When we have, we pass it on to others. And when we don't have, we sit down with those that never had. Someone gave Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu some herbs. He said, it's digestive herbs. Abdullah ibn Umar returned it. He said, this is for people that overeat. I've never eaten to my full. Anyway, we move on. What is the message of the Quran? When you harbor jealousy against someone, the system of Allah is that Allah makes that person your leader. And the more you suppress and curtail his growth, on a subtle and disguised note, you actually water in his advancement. Now that is the system of Allah. You like it or you don't like it, but that's how it works. Tough luck. Accept it, good luck. You deny it, tough luck. That's the system of Allah. Qushayri makes mention, لَمَّا حَسَدُوا يُوسُفَ عَلَى تَقْدِيمِ أَبِيهِمْ لَهُ لَمْ يَرْضَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى حَتَّى أَقَامَهُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الْحَسُودُ لَا يَسُودُ لِيَعْلَمُوا سَادَ يَسُودُ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الْحَسُودُ لَا يَسُودُ This is academic and it's profound. And I always grapple with this here in my talks and my addresses, that if people can reach it out in the Arabic language, it's just phenomenal. So when they were harboring jealousy, and inside they were burning within themselves, in English they say, a proud man is one who feels violated when someone else is praised. It's like when you're praising him, you're almost breaking something in my body. That is how he feels. He feels violated. And they said, who's a conceited man? One whose head expands, but his brain shrinks. His head expands, but his brain shrinks. And someone said, don't pat yourself on your shoulder all the time. You might just dislocate it. Don't pat yourself on your shoulder all the time. You know me? Oh, you might dislocate your shoulder. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّهُمْ بِمَفَازَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ Study the entire political landscape of the world. Study the entire world. You can find this ayah loud in everyone. Wishing to be acknowledged, to be lauded, extol my praises for things I haven't done. Just sing my praises. I'm the man, I'm the rescue, I'm the savior of the planet. This is where we find ourselves. So when they plotted against Yusuf, what did Allah do? Allah brought that day, خَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا That they had to kneel before Yusuf alayhi salam, لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الْحَسُودَ لَا يَسُودَ So that a loud message could be echoed to the world till Qiyamah, that when you harbor jealousy, you will be denying yourself of becoming a leader, respect, honor, and dignity. The brothers had to confess in the end, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ We tried a lot, but we failed miserably and dismally, and we have to concede today you sit on the podium and on the pedestal. Now, look at the irony of things, and we're just extracting a few points. How do we clear our brother from the equation? This is jealousy. Sin has no logic. Sin has no logic. So there's no cutoff point, there's no ceiling, there's no roof. You're just throwing out, I need to stop this man at any cost. I hate him with a passion. Whatever it takes, I need to move him from the equation. This is sin. When a person has a substance abuse, he has a kick, he wants that feeling at any price, at any cost. I lose my honor, my family, my home, my status, I bring Islam into disrepute. Whatever it is, I need that thrill and that feeling and that kick. This is the nature, this is the addiction of sin. May Allah save us. In English, they say every time you succumb to a vice, it gives you temporary relief, but the vice gets a tighter grip around you. So momentarily you feel relaxed, but ultimately you've become a slave and a victim to that particular crime and offense. May Allah protect us. They say, let's kill our brother. Let's kill him. But then there's a counter thought, because end of the day there is iman within you. No, no, no. And that's exactly what happens. When you initially orchestrating, planning a crime, there is contradicting emotions. Salma ibn Dinar, better known as Abu Hazim, said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَّا وَيُقْبِلْ عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمُهُ وَهَوَاهُ ثُمَّ يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاصِمَيْنِ فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ غُنْمٍ لَهُ وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمَهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ خُسْرَانٍ عَلَيْهِ. Every day a fresh battle is fought on the bosom of every Muslim, and more specifically a student of deen. What is it? It is ego versus virtue. It is vice versus nobility. يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاسِمَيْنِ. Do I chat online? Do I go into these porn sites? Do I visit these immoral venues? Or do I sustain the spirit that I achieved at this convention? يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاسِمَيْنِ. فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَى. If knowledge reigns supreme and you suppress the evil whisper within you, then Salma ibn Dinar says, every such day in your life is a day of Eid and happiness. وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمَهُ. And if you succumb to vice, then woe be to you, it is a day of destruction, even if it coincides with Eid day. Even if it coincides with a festive occasion, because you have succumbed to the weaker self within you. So now what they say to themselves, okay, let's do this here. We will drop him in the well, and we know it's evil, but then we'll make tawbah thereafter. Now, Islam teaches us virtue in advance, not tawbah in advance. There is virtue in advance. The scholars teach us, وَلَوْ عَجَّلَ ذُو نِسَابٍ لِسِنِينَ صَحَّ. You give zakat in advance. There is recognition to that year. You can't make tawbah in advance. Why? الأصل في التوبة أن تقع بعد الذنب الذي يقع غفلة أو جهلا أو ضعفا من العبد. توبة is a condition of regret that comes about post a offense which you have succumbed to, and not a crime that you orchestrating. I often say this, and let me repeat it to you. It's possible for a Muslim to oversleep at the time of Fajr, but it's not possible for a Muslim to plan not to get up for Fajr. There's a big difference between the two. You could oversleep, the alarm bell, the wake-up call, whatever else happened, it didn't materialize. But to consciously go and sleep, that I'm going to sleep and I'll get up at 8 and I'm going to omit my Fajr, you cannot reconcile that with a believer. There's just no commonness between the two. So this to say, أَمَّا التَّوْبَةُ الَّتِي تُعَدُّ سَلَفًا فَهِيَ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ الْمَكْرِ وَالْكَيْدِ وَالْإِحْتِيَالِ. To say, no, let's do the wrong today, it's Saturday night, and then you know what, they are having that motivation conference, we will be attending, this will offset those evils. It will atone. That is nothing more than a deception and a delusion from the devil. May Allah protect us. The devil is very smart and he's very conniving in the manner in which he does things. Anyway, they muster the courage and they come to the dad. Who's going to put the bell around the cat? Right? The idea is great, but who puts the bell? أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Dad, it's been long. Yusuf hasn't accompanied us. You just want to let him go and tomorrow we will party, we will indulge. Yarta, we will eat. Yalab, he will play. Wa inna lahu lahafidun, we'll take good care of him. Again, we learn on a subtle note that Islam per se allows some form of recreation. Islam condones it. Sayyidina Yaqub didn't oppose the idea of a recreation Sunday. He didn't oppose the concept of going out and having quality time. He had reservations and apprehensions that he felt that he was a young boy, he wasn't able to fend for himself. Perhaps a wolf will devour him. Inni akhafu wa ya'kulahu dhi'bu. But like in Arabic, they say, Al-hadr la yadfa'u al-qadr. That precaution cannot avert destiny. Precaution cannot avert what is ordained. Something that is going to happen, there's no way you can alter this. Yeah, that's the happening, and that is iman. This is where we understand. I was once in the UK, and I landed in Manchester, and the gentleman there did a basic interview, purpose of me coming, etc. And after we were done with the interview, he said, "You're a man of faith, you're a man of religion. Interview done, can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Go for it, brother." He said, "I've lost a child of mine, and I'm grappling with it. And I don't have direction, and I've consulted with people in my faith. As a Muslim, as a religious personnel, how would you console or advise me?" And I briefly introduced the article of taqdeer to him. What destiny is all about. That we take all the precautions before it happens. But once it has happened, we leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to qualify the statement. Taqdeer does not advocate negligence. Let's put things into perspective, because today we're taking things out of context. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the cave, right? It is the cave of Thawr. It's the journey of Hijrah. The enemy is at the mouth of the cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's heart is in his throat. The Nabi of Allah consoles him, "Ma dhannuka ya Aba Bakrin bi ithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma." Abu Bakr, we not two, Allah is with us. Having said that, he didn't exit the cave. Allah is with us, let's walk out. No, keep la aqlaka tadbir. There's no act of intelligence better than good planning. So we need to marry the two, and we need to find the correct balance between the two. Islam promotes you need to plan, you need to structure, you need to have action in place. But having said that, your reliance is not on your plan. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tie the camel and put your trust in Allah." He didn't say, "Untie it and put it trust." So we need to marry and merge the two. But that was just something that came part of the discussion, and I mentioned it. Just to recap and refresh, prior to the break and the interval, we were at that critical juncture where the children, the siblings of Yusuf, were negotiating with the dad to release Yusuf alayhi salam. And he was reluctant. And briefly, in a passing comment, I spoke about Islam recognizes the need for legitimate recreation. So Yaqub alayhi salam had not objected to the fact that they wanted to engage in recreation. And this is the beauty and the pragmatic nature of Islam. Islam is a very applicable, very pragmatic, very practical. "Huwajtabakum wama ja'ala alaykum fid din min haraj." Allah has not made faith complicated for you. Islam is universal, it's practical. Someone said it very beautifully, it was never dated for it to be outdated. Islam was never dated for it to be outdated. And on the note of this date, you know, the date, I read a beautiful quote the other day. They say whatever has a long shelf life has a short life for the person who has it. If it's got a long shelf life, the item and the article you have, then that means the person who consume it, the consumer's life will be short. So anyway, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam agrees, and reluctantly he let goes and releases. And a brother just asked me now, and I confirmed with him. He said he really enjoyed that particular Arabic quote that I quoted. "Inna al-hadr la yadfa'u al-qadr." That precaution cannot alter destiny. So we are tasked to take precautions. This is what the teachings are. But we also believe that if Allah has ordained something and destined something, then this is something we would have to contend with and we have to live. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam releases him. Now, Ibn Kathir writes, and this is what I was telling you, jealousy. You know, you think it is benign, but it's malignant. It's not benign, to use a medical phrase here. You think it's contained, it's localized, but it goes and goes beyond. Initially, it's so much and beyond and beyond. And that's the nature of any crime. How many are youngsters with whom I have counseled and interacted with, and even just last week, where we had to admit a youngster in a rehab, and then, you know, the bubble burst and he divulged everything. And when I asked him, "For the better part of 15 years, you were abusing the substance. Didn't you feel the need to seek help?" And he said, "Sheikh, I felt it's just short term, it's just temporary, and I'll manage and I'll come out of it. I never thought I was gripped and I was shackled. I always felt I was above it and I had better control and I was dominating." And this is what we think. But the vice is getting a grip within us. And by the time we realize we need help, sometimes it has reached a very advanced level and it's difficult to retract and to return back. So we need to seek help immediately, whatever sin or vice we are in. May Allah grant us protection. Yaqub alayhi salam releases. Ibn Kathir's narration, لما ذهب الإخوة, when the brothers take سيدنا يوسف عليه الصلاة والسلام بعد مراجعة أبيهم, after negotiating with the dad and after convincing him, اتفقوا على إلقائه في أسفل البئر. So they have this plot in their mind. They're telling the dad, no, we're taking him, we're going to have a casual day, it's recreation, it's a good day, just a family outing. But in the back of the mind, they've hatched this plan that they're going to drop him in the depth of this well. And as they leave Yaqub alayhi salam, وَهُمْ يُظْهِرُونَ لَهُ الْإِكْرَامَ شَرَحًا لِصَدْرِهِ وَإِدْخَالِ السُّرُورِ عَلَيْهِ. So as they leave the presence of Yaqub, they embrace the boy, they kiss him. No, no, let me hold him, no, let me hold him. So there's almost like a squabble to carry Yusuf alayhi salam, to give the notion of commitment and love. فَمَا أَنْتَ وَارَاءً أَعْيُنِ أَبِيهِمْ. They barely slip out from the vision of the dad. إِلَّا وَأَخَذُوا يُؤْذُونَهُ شَتْمًا وَضَرْبًا. And here they start hurling the most nasty, condescending, vituperative comments. رَبَطُوهُ بِحَبْلٍ. They then tie him with a leash. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْبِئْرِ. And they drop him in the well. And Ibn Kathir says that the little boy in his feeble voice speaks out, but my brothers, this is not what you told our dad. But we just left him now. You were holding me, hugging me, embracing me. And the narration also says, قَبَّلَهُ Yaqub alayhi salam embraced his son. Can you imagine how emotional that embrace must have been? He had this thing bothering him within himself. There's something sinister. There's something malicious. There's something unpleasant. There's something obnoxious. But he didn't, you know, what was meant was meant. What had to happen had to happen. So with an embrace, with love, with affection, he releases. No sooner are they out of the sight of the dad, they drop him down. This is jealousy. He's young, a child, when he's innocent as a baby and a lad, you are attracted to him regardless of, you know, ethnicity or culture or the color of his skin. That's a child. He's just adorable by nature. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the protection measures that the Almighty had instituted for him when he was sailing in the basket. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي أي وَلِتُرَبَّ عَلَى حِفْظَتِي. That Allah said, I had put such beauty on your face that Pharaoh, as much as he was killing children, whoever looked at you, they were just attracted to your beauty. There was just an attraction. There was just beauty in it. So they drop him in the well.
وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
Categoric, explicit. It's not a thumb suck. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not a fabricated tale. Allah said, as he slipped in the depth of the well, we informed him, inspired him, and comforted him. We said, just hang in, Yusuf. Just persevere. In fact, Allama Shawkani, the great Mufassir, deduces the legitimacy and the permissibility of the academic argument if wahi can be sent to a lad or not, to a child or not. And he makes his deduction from this ayah, وَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُوحِ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ مَنْ كَانَ صَغِيرًا. That we can learn from this that Allah sent wahi to a child. While other mufassirin say, أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْوَحِي الْإِلْهَامِ, that here it refers to inspiration. So, O Yusuf, just hang in. Just hang in. Now, this again is a very big lesson of life. And I identify it with myself in the sense that we need to read this. I often say to people, that how many a times in my humble, you know, experiences, and I share this with you with a sense of gratitude to Allah, every person might find something different in his life in which he has a spiritual ecstasy. So sometimes for some people it might be a circuit around the Kaaba. For another person he might be having, you know what, in making the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. A third person might be having that spirituality and that ecstasy in nocturnal prayer and getting up in the late hours of the night. That's awesome. But for me, in my weak and feeble self, if there's anything that really gives me an exhilarating feeling, then it is surely to recite the Quran and reflect over the meanings of the Quran. The feeling is something that cannot possibly be expressed otherwise. How often I would be having a rough day or a tough day or a challenging day, and there are a thousand thoughts racing through your mind, and then you would come for Maghrib or Isha prayer, and then you would join the congregation, And then the imam would be reciting the tale of Yusuf, or reciting, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ. It's like, wow, Allah, you're talking to me directly. Before I commence my prayer, I'm juggling with 1,000 thoughts and ideas, what's going in my life, and I'm trying to put this puzzle. And here the imam reads, do you think you're just going to get to paradise that easy? Wait, hang on, those before you were challenged. They were jolted, they were shaken. Many of them said, we know the help of Allah is inevitable, but when it's coming? And here you come for prayer and you hear the tale of Yusuf and you realize, okay, Allah, I've got my answer. I've got my answer loud and clear. And really, the Quran has the answers. We're not accessing it. We're not reading it. We're not going out to it. But the message is there clear. We need to access the message. Just hang in there, O Yusuf. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. There will come a time where you will narrate the details of this event to these very brothers with absolute confidence, and they will not recognize who you are. دَعِ الْأُمُورَ تَجْرِي فِي مَجَارِيهَا وَلَا تَبِيتَنَّ لَيْلَةً إِلَّا خَالِ الْبَالِي فَبَيْنَ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَإِنْقِبَاضِهَا يُغَيِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَالٍ إِلَى حَالِي. Very succinctly and aptly the poet put it, دَعِ الْأُمُورَ تَجْرِي فِي مَجَارِيهَا. Leave things to flow in the manner in which the Almighty has ordained. Sometimes you just have to backstep and allow things to happen. This is meant, it's going to happen. وَلَا تَبِيتَنَّ لَيْلَةً إِلَّا خَالِ الْبَالِ. And when you retire to bed, don't retire depressed and distraught, suicidal and miserable, with a clean and a fresh mind. فَبَيْنَ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَإِنْقِبَاضِهَا يُغَيِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَالٍ إِلَى حَالِ. When Allah decides and decrees, then it's the twitch of an eye, it's the wink of an eye, it's a split second, then it's from the well of Egypt to the throne of Egypt. Now they've made up the tale, they dropped him there, but there's a lot of consequences, there's a lot of consequences. How do we face our dad? وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ. So what they did, they exploited the apprehension of their dad. And they said, listen, the best thing would be to say, the very fears that he had, tragically his fears became a reality. Abu Bakr al-Jazairi writes so amazingly, he said, اختاروا الليلة للاعتذار دون النهار لأن العين تستحي من العين. They decided to come by night, right? They didn't come in the day. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. Nothing in the Quran is coincidental. Every word, and this is when you say, and this is my pain, and this is what hurts me and kills me, and I say to the youth, and I say in many conventions, is that we have remained ignorant of the message of the Quran, but we don't feel deprived. We don't feel I haven't achieved anything. We keep ourselves abreast with every news bulletin, with every sport bulletin. We watch every ball by the second and the moment. And everything is televised. And if we have interest and it's legitimate, good luck. But why at the cost of remaining negligent in the matters of deen? Abahum Aisha, they came by night. Why? They wanted to take amnesty in the cover of dark. They wanted to take shelter in the cover of dark. They didn't have the courage to look their dad in his eyes. Why? Because there was guilt trickling down their cheeks. So in the cover of dark, they could camouflage. The Quran teaches us, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. Oh Allah, we ask protection from darkness when it envelopes. Because under the cover of dark, lot of evil perpetrated, lot of crimes committed, lot of vices, lot of offenses take place. May Allah protect us. They come crying. Qurtubi writes, وهذه الآية دليل على أن بكاء المرء لا يدل على صدقه. وهذه الآية دليل. You know, I don't know how to say this, and I say it sometimes. I say, you know, just learn Arabic to understand what I want to tell you, if nothing else.
It's an amazing language. It's an amazing language. And how the scholars draw analogies through the root words and how deep it is and the connotations and how applicable it's to our life. You have to admit to say that this is a divine language and this is cannot be inspired by any human. So Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah writes, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ بُكَاءَ الْمَرْءِ لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ صِدْقِ مَقَالِهِ لِإِحْتِمَالِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ تَصَنُّعًا. This is a categoric and explicit proof of the fact that every man who tears is not necessarily a victim. Every person, فَمِنَ الْخَلْقِ مَنْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَا يَقْدِرُ. There are some people that can cry for you non-stop. And there are others, some are introverts, some are extroverts. Some can throw out, some contain within themselves. إِذَا اشْتَبَكَتْ دُمُوعٌ فِي خُدُودٍ تَبَيَّنَ مَنْ بَكَى مِمَّنْ تَبَاكَى. إِذَا اشْتَبَكَتْ دُمُوعٌ فِي خُدُودٍ. When the tears are trickling non-stop, then you can identify the original from, as they say, the crocodile tears. تَبَيَّنَ مَنْ بَكَى مِمَّنْ تَبَاكَى. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. Now, you know, a crack in the voice, weakness in the body, you are feeling lethargic. Dad, you're not going to believe us. That's the first sign of a liar. You're not going to believe us. Why are you suffering a complex of lack of certainty? إِن كُنْتَ كَذُوبًا فَكُنْ ذَكُورًا. Arabic, they say, if you're a liar, you must be intelligent because you've got to remember the sequence of lies. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, إِنَّ الْكِذْبَ رِيبَ. Lies creates uncertainty, depression, and by extension, every vice. When you're committing a wrong, you're uneasy if your wife or your partner just browses, never mind peruses through that phone. You edgy at home. You're protective at home. Oh, leave that, my son, leave that. Why, Dad? When you grow up, you'll know. Okay. So like, what's this? What's so private about this? What's so adult about this? You're uneasy. That's the problem with our lives today. There is no transparency. Al-wafa'u shajaratun. Jami'u thimariha tayyiba. Waziwajun bila wafa'in ayyamuhu qaleela. Al-wafa'u shajaratun. Loyalty, fidelity, faithfulness is a tree that only bears good fruit. You're faithful as an employee, you're faithful as a spouse, you're faithful as a neighbor. جَمِيعُ ثِمَارِهَا طَيِّبًا. You're only going to bear good fruit. وَزِوَاجٌ بِلَا وَفَاءٍ أَيَّامُهُ قَلِيلًا. A relation, a union devoid of loyalty is short-lived. It's a matter of time when it will dissolve. People are uneasy. That is why, وَالْكِذْبُ رِيبًا. It leaves you unclear. There's no certainty in what you're doing. So now they come to the father with a crack in the voice, with great sense of apparent, fake, fabricated emotions. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفُ. And they want to hoodwink a Nabi. And every child cannot put wool over his biological father's eyes because the dad has experience. How are you possibly going to hoodwink a Nabi of Allah? Our dad, you're not going to believe us. There was wolves roaming in the area. You know, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا وَنَهْجُ ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانَا. If you could comprehend that, your hearts would burst. He said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا. We condemn, we criticize the time, the era, the period, whatever it is. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. But microscopically analyze things and you'll realize that the problem lies with me. Let the buck stop here. Don't push it on to anyone else. I am at the heart of issues. وَنَهْجُ ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. It's so difficult to translate this because the pain that has been contained in these couplets or the stanza of the poem. He said a wolf that is synonymous to slyness, to cunning, even it doesn't prey on itself. You won't find one wolf prey on another wolf. But today mankind has stooped so low that one human openly devours another human. And at times it's not a human or a Muslim brother or a fellow human, our blood brothers. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا دِيَانَتُنَا التَّصَنُّعُ وَالتَّرَائِي وَنَحْنُ نُخَادِعُ بِهِ مَنْ يَرَانَا. Our faith has been restricted to expressing, to impressing people. Wherever I can get a Kodak moment or I can get some recognition from people and I can make up some followers and it can enhance my status or give me more recognition on social media, I exploit the moment. And that is what I have reduced by and large my piety to. So anyway, they come and they say, listen, Dad, apologies. You know what? The wolf came and he devoured and consumed our brother. There's a loud message here, my sister. And there is a loud message here, my brother. And listen to the message. May it permeate my heart and may it permeate your heart. Plan after plan, thought after thought. So the devil tells you that go to a club, go to a pub, go and commit wrong. I'll tell my dad like this, I'll tell my mom like this, I'll tell my boss like this here. And you hatching this whole thing and you're tying up all the links. But just see how naive and how foolish and how you fall short. Because it's a lie. It's a lie. So you're never going to get this thing in order. So Dad, really, here is the shirt of our brother. And it's so sad. And what they did, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas said, ذَبَحُوا شَاتًا وَلَطَّخُوا قَمِيصَهُ. They slaughtered a sheep, they took the blood, and they colored it, they bleached it, they dyed it, and they stained it. So they come with the shirt of Yusuf stained with false blood. And they say, this is Yusuf alayhi salam's, Yusuf's shirt, and really apologies my dad that this is what had happened. Instantly he looked at this and he said, مَا أَحْلَمَ هَذَا الذِّئْبْ مَا أَحْلَمَ هَذَا الذِّئْبْ شَقَّ قَمِيصَهُ أَكَلَ لَحْمَهُ وَلَمْ يَشُقَّ قَمِيصَهُ. Subhanallah, I would love to meet this wolf. What a neat job in staining my son's shirt. What a decent job. Almost like it opened up his shirt, his garment, to use a better word, his garment, took it out, stained it without any slit, cut or any hole in any way. This was like a professional job. And now obviously they're looking at one another and they said, oh yeah, right, okay now. That's a curve. Now that's something that was unanticipated. We never had our plans in place. But this is the beauty of a Nabi. And this is what we are here for, to learn these lessons. Because every one of us, the Titanic hit one iceberg. Every day in our lives, we're hitting different icebergs. And every day we're going through these issues. Now here Yaqub alayhi salam is hands-on. He had all the apprehension, he had all the reservation, he didn't have the confidence to send, but they persuaded him, they cajoled him, they insisted, they impressed upon him, reluctantly he released, and the very fears that it happened unfortunately came to the fore and came to fruition. But when he realized it's over, and they have fabricated the deal, there was no looking back. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. I can read it, my brother. You can hear it, my sister. But that statement and that ayah is brimming with submission that I doubt we can attain that till the time we die, even if we devote our entire life to achieve that. It is the bosom of a Nabi that can articulate at the point of affliction. إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the true manifestation of patience is at the point of affliction. بَلْ زَيَّنَتْ لَكُمْ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ بَلْ زَيَّنَتْ لَكُمْ. I'm convinced this is but another ploy. Listen, my sons, I don't want to go into the details and I don't want to go into the nitty-gritty and I don't want to unpick this and I don't want to get under your skin. I know this is yet another ploy. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. For me now onwards, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I have to persevere in a manner that I don't moan or groan or question my Allah. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi said, what is the definition of sabr? To swallow something bitter, biduni ta'abbus, without a frown on your forelock. I'm saying today, even if you can swallow it and you frown, it's good. The child takes the bitter medicine and then, it's not nice, but as long as it went down his throat. Today, even if we can swallow it, even if we can take it down, we can contend with it, even that is good. Fasadbrun jameel. Now, this is the point, and I want to objectively digress to a point in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because we draw a great lesson here. Sometimes in life, the situation is not going to change for the moment. That's the crude reality. You've got a rebellious son, or you've got something else. You're making dua, you've exhausted everything. A sister says, I'm praying to Allah, I want to get married, or I'm optimistic of this year. I'm cognizant. Yeah. So, you know, there's so many issues. Sheikh Shabir is a very good colleague of mine, and he's my esteemed colleague, and we studied together, and I'm equally anxious to hear from him as you are. So, my apologies for encroaching and infringing on his time, but I'm optimistic he will give me that allowance and leeway, and inshallah he will take over from me thereafter. So, the point I'm saying is, sometimes in life, now this is our challenge. I'll tell you this here because I interact with it. Sheikh, I'm having this issue, so read this dua. No, but I read that dua. Okay, but give charity. No, but I've done that. Okay, but fast, but I'm doing that. Right, you're doing what you're doing. We're not going to change the formula. Hold on to it with conviction and basirat, and let time pass, and when the Almighty decides, that the time is going to happen. The prescription cannot change. We can't start hopping around. What we have been told to do, we have to hold on to that firmly and embrace that with passion. But now, when would the results come out? That is in the hands of Allah. My job at this stage is sabrun jameel. So here's an objective digression. You would know, my sister, the painful tale that the Quran speaks about, the slander that was circulated against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. A painful ordeal. But the Quran said, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Do not perceive it in its entirety to be a negative. There are great good that came to fruition as a result of this year. When this tale continued, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he had orchestrated this. He was the key member in this entire thing. Inna alladhi tawalla kibrahu, the one who was liable and responsible for orchestrating this evil plan, lahu adabun azim, for him is a severe torment. An entire month is going. Innocent Sahaba, inadvertently had fallen prey to this accusation. And they also inadvertently gave it some degree of momentum and some degree of recognition. I wonder, in the long and short of it is that the rumor and the slander was being circulated regarding Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan bin Assal radiallahu anhu, simply because in a campaign she had fallen off to sleep at a remote location. She was such a wise woman. She said, because she was very light, the Prophet of Allah continued with his camel and he didn't realize, and it was the hodaj, it was covered. She said, if I stand up and I move, when the Nabi of Allah will realize I'm absent, he would dispatch people to locate me, and then the first point of reflection would be the point where we had departed. So let me patiently wait here. When he realizes I'm absent, he will depute someone, that person would find me, and from here I will be reunited with the caravan. She patiently sat there. Look at the composure, look at the maturity, look at the foresight, look at the fortitude of this girl. Imagine a young girl being lost in a mall or in an airport. It's panic, it's anxiety, alarm bells are ringing, there's so much happening. But she's so calm, composed and calculated. And then here comes from the rear the sahabi who was tasked to just see if any odd things were lying. And he comes and he's seen, oh, this is Aisha radiallahu anha. وَقَدْ رَآهَا قَبْلَ الْحِجَابِ. He had seen her prior to the laws of veiling. So he realized, okay, this is the Prophet ﷺ's consort. Immediately he moved to the side, and then he dropped his camel, and she mounted on, and then he brought her into Medina. And then Abdullah bin Ubay started exploiting and abusing. What's happening between the two? I seen Safwan and Aisha, al-iyadu billah, Allah forbid. Remember, my mom is my mom because she told me, and I don't doubt it. But Aisha radiallahu anha is my mom because Allah told me she is my mom. Allah told me in the Quran, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. So with absolute conviction, the reverence and the honor that we have for Aisha radiallahu anha and the entire Azwaj al-Mutahharat, it carried on for 1 month. 1 month painful like you cannot believe. Comments, remarks. Allah in His wisdom tested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tested Aisha, tested Abu Bakr, tested the entire Ummah. After 1 month, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down face to face with Aisha on this sensitive issue. It was the first formal dialogue since the inception of this accusation that the Prophet of Allah engaged. Now look at the maturity and the wisdom and the foresight of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's highly sensitive. It's highly sensitive. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had given a talk once and I had used this reference in it, but I'll just make anecdotal reference. And that is when we learn from the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to diffuse situations and not infuse. In English they say, you know, some people bring happiness wherever they go and others bring happiness whenever they go. Some people bring happiness wherever they go. Mashallah, they make people cheerful, they make people laugh, they bring a good... And others, whenever they leave, it's why? Because he's only, you know what, infusing. He's only adding venom. He's only adding poison. He doesn't say a kind word. He just doesn't know how to lighten up the atmosphere. It's just making people depressed. The Prophet of Allah sat down, Aisha, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ruman. Can you imagine what a high profile delegation? Look at the sensitivity. As the head of the home, as a father, as a boss, as a manager, as a teacher, we need to deal with situations. You need broadness of shoulders. You need to separate emotions. You need intellect. You need the rich legacy of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amma ba'du ya Aisha, fa innahu qad balaghani anki kadha wa kadha. Aisha, certain things has reached my ears. فَإِن كُنْتِ بَرِيئَةً فَسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهِ. My Nabi started on the point of innocence and not the point of guilt. Aisha, if you are innocent, then this is just a formality, it's just a matter of time, and Allah will exonerate you. Now, one is to say, Aisha, I know it, and he knows it, and we know it. Now, what are you saying? No. This is where, unfortunately, we stray. Look at the composure, and this is what the scholars say, that amongst the proof that the Quran had given, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have the knowledge of unseen. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّءُ. In the footnotes of the Sahih in Tafsir al-Uthmani, the same incident has been referenced. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the knowledge of unseen, he wouldn't have had to engage Aisha radiallahu anha. It wouldn't have been a month-long ordeal. Right? This is the proof of it, that he did not have. Surely Allah kept him abreast with certain developments, and that's the respectful expression of the knowledge of the unseen. It's a whole academic write-up in Surah Jin. You can reference it in the tafsir. Anyway, O Aisha, in kunti bari'a, if you are innocent, فَسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهِ. Allah will prove your innocence. Allah will exonerate you. وَإِن كُنْتِ أَلْمَمْتِ بِذَنْبٍ. And if perchance there was a whisper of wrong, we all are humans. Fallibility is part of us. By our nature, we fallible creatures. So if perchance you have erred, then fatubi wastaghfirillah. Then repent to Allah and Allah will pardon you. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was a young girl. I modestly looked at my dad and I said, Ajib Rasulullah. Oh my dad, you're my advocate. I'm a young girl. I'm young. I'm tender of age. Please speak. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu modestly backstabs. He said, Mada aqulu li Rasulillah. Oh my daughter, I love you and my hair stands on end. But just look at the loyalty of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There is no human like him. When Abu Darda unintentionally walked ahead of him, the Prophet of Allah said, Tamshi amama rajulin lam tatla'i shamsu ala ahadin ba'da an-nabiyyin afdal min Abi Bakr. Abu Darda, for the record, you have forwarded and stepped ahead of that man, that the sun hasn't risen on a more noble human in history after the galaxy of prophets than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I said, sorry, my daughter, I there's nothing I can say. So I looked at my mom, Umm Ruman. I said, Mom, you speak. My mom said, Mada aqulu li Rasulillah? What can I say to the Prophet of Allah? So at that time she said, Wa ana jariyatun hadithatu sin la aqra'u min al-Qur'ani kathira. I was young, I was tender. I didn't have much knowledge. I then mustered the courage and I spoke, and may countless mercies of Allah descend on the blessed soul of Aisha radiyallahu anha. May perpetual blessings descend on this pure, chaste, innocent, pious, noble soul. Say Ameen, radiyallahu anha wa arda. Look at the courage, look at the sensitivity, look at the moment, and look at how she spoke. She said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ فَلَوْ قُلْتُ أَنِّي بَرِيئًا لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي وَلَئِنِ اعْتَرَفْتُ لَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئًا لَتُصَدِّقُنَّنِي وَاللَّهِ لَا أَجِدُ لِي وَلَكُمْ مَثَلًا إِلَّا أَبَا يُوسُفْ حِينَ قَالْ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. My Allah, I wish you could comprehend this, and I say this again. What did she say? You've been hearing the slander for the greater portion of 1 month. Like it or not, it has been now embedded in your hearts. It has reached the recesses of your heart. If I were to tell you I'm innocent, and Allah knows accordingly I'm innocent, you won't buy my tale. And if I were to appease you and say, listen, you know what, your reservations, your apprehensions, your suspicion is correct and I am guilty, you would be happy that what you were assuming turned out to be correct. But the reality is otherwise, because I'm innocent. I think I'm going to conclude this chapter on this note. I turn back the pages of history and I look deep into the Quran and I take solace from the words of Yusuf alayhi salam's dad. She said, I was so emotional, I could not even register the name of Yaqub. I was so caught up in my emotions. So I said, I will take solace from the father of Yusuf when he said to the siblings of Yusuf, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. I will persevere and leave it in the hands of Allah. Now I must say to you, my brother and my sister, when you leave it in the hands of Allah, then you got to zip up and backstep. A lot of times we say, I've handed over to Allah, but you keep on talking. It doesn't work. Sayyidina Abu Bakr was sitting, the Prophet of Allah was there. Someone hurled a nasty remark, Abu Bakr contained. The person threw a second sharp comment, Abu Bakr retorted justifiably. The Prophet of Allah excused himself. Abu Bakr held his hand. O Nabi of Allah, the man threw a nasty comment, I persevered. He threw a sharp comment for the second time, I retorted justifiably. The Prophet said, Abu Bakr, when you were silent, Jibreel was answering. When you retorted, Jibreel excused, I walked out. Now either you speak or then Allah intervenes. But you also speak and you want Allah to intervene. This is impossible. This is not going to happen. They said, we barely glanced at the Prophet of Allah and their revelation came. And it came in its most amazing way, which Qurtubi says, I'll just mention this and come back to the tale, that لَمَّا رُمِيَ يُوسُفْ بِالْفَاحِشَةِ بَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ صَبِيٍّ فِي الْمَهْدِي وَلَمَّا رُمِيَتْ مَرْيَمَ بِالْفَاحِشَةِ بَرَّأَهَا اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ صَبِيٍّ وَلَمَّا رُمِيَتْ عَائِشَةُ بِالْفَاحِشَةِ فَمَا رَضِيَ لَهَا بِبَرَاءَةِ صَبِيٍّ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. That when Maryam alayha salam, the Virgin Mary, was accused, her child spoke in the crib, declaring the innocence, the chastity of her mother. He spoke out, listen, my mom is pure, my mom is chaste, my mom is innocent, my mom is clean. When Yusuf was accused, and time is not going to permit, but we can never complete it. The aim is, and I hope, when I said it in my talks, I hope I can leave you thirsty, my sister, and I hope I can leave you hungry, my brother, that you go back to your textbooks, you go back to your scholars, you go back to your institutions, and you reclaim your lost legacy. Really, I didn't know this was in the Quran, my word. But when my mother Aisha was accused, Allah was not comfortable to exonerate her on the tongue of a prophet, nor did Allah use the intervention of a child, which has been the rhythm and the pattern of history throughout times. The hadith of Bukhari, لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ فِي الْمَهْدِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةً. But Allah Himself intervened in the form of Quran, and Allah revealed an entire ruku with 18 odd ayats. And what did the Quran say? إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. When you circulated this, and you were blurting something you had no clue about, وتحسبونه هينا, and you perceived it trivial, وهو عند الله عظيم, and in the eyes of Allah there can be no grave crime, no more serious offense. The point we come back to here is, my sister, at times in life we just got to make sabr, sabrun jamil, as-sabr alladhi la jaza'a fihi, and we move on from there. I'm going to conclude on this note, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's obviously the tale of Yusuf and his modesty, but alhamdulillah, we need to learn, we need to learn. It's not a matter of completing. One great scholar said an amazing thing. He said, the aim is not to end the Quran, the aim is to end your life in the Quran. The aim is not to end the Quran. The aim is to end your life in the service of the Quran. The aim is not to conclude the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salam, nor to wrap up. And I cannot, when I was in California a few years ago and I had done a Ramadan there, for the entire Ramadan I had done a tafsir of the surah and in other places. But no tale of the Quran can be, you know what, summarized. But I'll leave you with these last words. And this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah gives this whole detailed tale of Yusuf alayhi salam, and right at the tail end, Allah gives you the synopsis in one ayah. Wow. This is Quran. I often get this ecstasy, and I share it with my spouse, and may Allah reward her. You know, she identifies with it, because sometimes you read this beautiful Arabic and Quran. You know, Imam Shafi said, Sahari لتنقيح العلوم ألذ لي من وصل غانية وطيب عناقي. To stay awake and study deen gives me a greater thrill than embracing a woman who's naturally beautiful at the most exotic location. Right? وألذ من نقر الفتاة لدفها نقري لألقي الرمل عن أوراقي. And I gotta get a greater kick and thrill by holding my books and studying my sciences than a young girl playing the flute or the piano. وَتَمَايُلِي طَرَبًا لِحَلِّ عَوِيصَةٍ فِي الدَّرْسِ أَشْهَى مِن مُدَامَةِ سَاقِي. And finally, when I resolve a complex ruling and I understand the juristic ruling, the ecstasy it gives me, the euphoric moment, the exhilarating feeling, I sway with excitement more than anyone can sway after having the best of wines. وَأَبِيتُ سَهْرَانَ الدُّجَى وَتَبِيتُهُ نَوْمًا وَتَبْغِي بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لِحَاقِي. My whole night in worship, your whole night sleeping and doing wrong, and in the morning you meet me and you say, Shafi, please pray to Allah that we must be together in Jannah. And I'm like, how? وَأَبِيتُ سَهْرَانَ الدُّجَى وَتَبِيتُهُ نَوْمًا. So here's the synopsis. Here's the synopsis of the whole tale. What's the synopsis? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That's the synopsis given by the Quran. And that's the beauty. The whole tale consolidated in two words. Listen loud, listen clearly, listen repeatedly. He who fears Allah and perseveres, yattaqi wa yasbir. The whole life revolved around two qualities, fearing and persevering. Then surely Allah will not allow for these actions of yours to go unrewarded. Wa in tasbiru wa tattaqu la yadhurrukum kayduhum shay'a inna Allaha bima ya'maluna muhit. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I'm grateful for the extension of time, and once again I put in record my apologies to the master of ceremony, to the official host, and to my esteemed colleague for overstepping the mark, and to the respected congregation and the esteemed brothers and sisters. Jazakallah khair.